Godfrey came to the United States from Uganda to learn how to become an organic farmer, and now trains thousands of Ugandans how to become organic farmers. Godfrey's effort leads us to ask, what can we in the developed world learn from those in the developing world?
Welcome to the award-winning Food Chain Show with your host, Michael Olson. Now, get ready for an hour of What's Eating What Radio.
Hello out there. You are tuned into the 1015th edition of the Food Chain Radio program right here on the GCN Radio Network. Or hey, perhaps you're among our friends way down there in Punta Arenas who are tuned in as we stream along in the Food Chain page at metrofarm.com. Well, whoever you are and wherever you are, welcome aboard. I am Michael Olson, your host for this hour of What's Eating What Radio with engineer Jason Strubia on the boards. Hello, Jason.
Morning, morning.
Folks, Godfrey Kazosi came to the University of California, Santa Cruz from Uganda to learn how to become an organic farmer. The kind of farming taught at UC Santa Cruz is decidedly different than that taught at the big land-grant colleges around the United States. While the land-grant universities taught the kind of farming that relies on the input of money, UCSC taught the kind of farming that relies on the input of time. UCSC students and faculty sometimes call their technology French Intensive Biodynamic. Simply stated, the French Intensive Biodynamic method is based on the development of a deep, rich soil teeming with life, and is manifested in the raised beds you see in photographs of gardens and farms. Throughout, though perhaps ill-suited to the scale of modern industrialized agriculture, that French Intensive Biodynamic method can make a lot of sense when the scale is reduced to that available throughout much of the world. What may not make sense with 1,000 acres may well make good sense with 1 acre. Equipped with his new knowledge of what essentially is a very old practice, Godfrey returned home to Uganda, where he now teaches thousands of fellow Ugandans how to farm organically on small parcels of land, and thus, more importantly, how to survive and prosper in one of the world's most stress-filled regions. So, in considering how Godfrey learned at the University of California farm is being used to strengthen those communities in Uganda, we pause today to ask, what can we in the developed world learn from those in the developing world about getting along in the world? Here to help us dig for an answer, we have a couple people in the know. First of all, let's start with Godfrey himself, Godfrey Kazosi, founder head cheese at the Center for Environmental Technology and Rural Development in Kasese, Uganda. Godfrey, welcome to the Food Chain.
Thank you very much, Mr. Mike.
Well, Mr. Mike, I like that one. So you were here first in Food Chain number 454. It's now Food Chain number 1015, which means you were here 561 shows ago, which is like way over 10 years.
That's a long time.
Long time. Tell us about where we were back then and where we are today and the difference.
Thank you very much. The difference from where we were and where we are now, it's a long, long difference. And when you look at the ground where we are, maybe, Michael, let me take you back to the history, how I came to Santa Cruz.
Oh, good. That's a perfect place to start. But before we do, I want to introduce Peggy Pollard, who has a couple of very interesting positions. First of all, you're with the International Students Association of the University of California, Santa Cruz, and that's your day job. So you're working with the people, the students that come from all over the world at the University of California, right?
Yes, Michael. I organize a friendship program to welcome international students and scholars at UCSC.
Good to go. And you're also chairman of the Santa Cruz Sister Cities Project.
Yes, I am. This year I got strong-armed into taking that position.
Okay. Well, what I want to ask you before we go back to Godfrey is, what do you see in f- when f- in students when they come here from foreign lands?
They love to learn. The really fun part is when I meet students and I say, I want to help you, they don't so much need to help as much as just being shown around, and then they like to help us. What I love to see is with people like Godfrey, whom I met 16 years ago, their curiosity and their eagerness to learn so much of things that we have no idea that are part of our culture just by being here.
So you get to kind of, in through their eyes, you get to kind of see our culture in new eyes.
Right. Learn a lot about our own lives. And they ask us, why do you do this? Why do you say that? And a lot of times I don't know. I learn from them.
Well, good. And one of the things we can't quite figure out is the UC Santa Cruz Farm and Garden Project, which was founded by a Shakespearean actor by the name of Alan Chadwick, and was working with some of the professors up there, Paul Lee notably, to develop a whole new kind of university agriculture system, which made absolutely no sense to anybody. But it must have made sense to Godfrey, because he came all the way from Uganda to UC Santa Cruz. Why, Godfrey?
Oh, thank you. Why did I come here? My history goes back that I did study agriculture, but it was theory in Uganda. I went to Israel at Ben Gurion University to find a kind of knowledge that I would bring back home. I went through a training which was for crops for arid and semi-arid with high-tech technology that honestly I could not take back to Uganda.
So Israel had this very high-tech material,
yes,
that you looked at and said, what am I going to do with this in Uganda, right?
These guys were using mechanized irrigation. They were being computerized, running through the farm. Here we are talking of smallholder farmers in Uganda that I was representing. Mm-hmm. So I went back to Germany at the University of Dresden to study. But during our time of study in Dresden, it was still high-tech. Then I came back home and said, oh, it seems I'm not finding what I was looking for. Shortly, a Kenyan friend from Manor House in Kenya, we met, and he said, no, there is a place in USA, in Santa Cruz, where they do real training that we are looking for. So I did apply. In the late 90s, the mails were very slow. You write a letter and you have to wait until it comes back. So I waited for some time, and the letter came back and said, oh, Godfrey, you have been chosen to come and take a course at the UCSC Farm and Garden. Oh, I was so, so happy to come to the farm.
Wow. Let me back up just a little bit. You looked all over the world for technology to bring home to Uganda. Why didn't those high technology, and when we say high technology, I think we're really talking about money inputs, you know, things you buy with lots of money and then put on the farm. Why didn't they make any sense for Uganda?
Well, Mike, here we are talking of small-scale hold farmers. When we talk of small-scale farmers, we are talking half an acre, we are talking over an acre, we are talking of 2 acres, maybe up to 10 acres. And we are talking of mechanized, which has to be computerized, which has to be learned by one man in somewhere in the house, not even in the field. Here people are looking how to survive, how to produce for their own consumption, for an extra to sell, to be able to take care of their family. So how could I take back that kind of technology? Here I'm packing a technology in an envelope. I'm taking it back home. I say, oh, guys, I've brought you this technology. Let's begin. They would even ask me a question. Where do you want us to begin from? What is this one for? So what we're looking was simple, easy, able to be packed, and to be taken home.
Simple, easy to use, and something you can take back home.
And easy adopted.
And you found it at the University of California, Santa Cruz.
Had that one.
Mm-hmm. And so you have a great story about when you first came to the UC farm, and they offered you a place to stay, which is where?
Oh, that was very interesting. You know, Mr. Michael, before I came to California, I was watching Coming to America by Ed Murphy. It was very big excitement how these guys came from Africa, they came to the United States, and they found it was, oh my God, it was like near heaven. And to be honest to you, even right now, people in many places in Africa, they think maybe America is next to heaven. So they don't realize what is here. Some
Wait
people
a minute.
Think,
you have to hold the story because we have to take a break. That'll make a perfect reason to stay tuned because you're going to hear where Godfrey was offered his accommodations at the University of California. When we get back, this is the Food Chain Radio program, Mike Lolson. Today we're looking at Africa and America. Africa and America. What we can learn from each other. Do stay tuned. Right back.
Get this, you can earn a 5, 6, or 7-figure income by farming a small parcel of land in or near the city.
You can be old or young.
Rich or poor.
Married or single.
You can own land outright.
Or lease it year to year.
You can grow small fruits on prairie bench lands.
Houseplants in coastal valleys.
Flowers on steep wooded hillsides.
Vegetables in the city green belts.
And ornamentals in neighborhoods of fancy homes.
Get all the help you need to get growing at metrofarm.com.
Get the complete guide to growing high value specialty crops for the city at metrofarm.com.
Get experts to look at your land and assess which crops to grow at metrofarm.com.
Get advice on how to plan and develop your project at metrofarm.com.
And get news about the business of farming for the city.
Yes, you can earn a 5, 6, or even a 7-figure income by farming high-value specialty crops on a small parcel of land in or near the city.
Grow for the money today at metrofarm.com. That's metrofarm.com.
Hey, here we're back. This is the Food Chain Radio program. We're just talking about traveling to Kasese, Uganda in August, where we'll sing and dance and feast and have a great time with a sister city program. It sounds like so much fun. We're talking today a little bit about Godfrey Kazozi, who traveled from Uganda to the United States to learn how to become an organic farmer, but not just any kind of organic farmer, to develop a special kind of farming that would allow people on small parcels of land to sustain themselves and their communities. Agriculture has so developed organic farming that it's really kind of almost industrial grade now. Godfrey was looking for a technology that would help small people on small parcels of land survive, and he found it, of all places, at the University of California, Santa Cruz. And so he came there all the way from Africa looking like, oh my goodness, I'm going to America. And he gets to Santa Cruz, California, what kind of accommodations did they offer you, Godfrey?
Well, Michael, this was very interesting. The day I arrived at the farm, the first thing they saw me was a tent.
A tent?
Yes, I was supposed to live in a tent. It was in April. By that time, there was still lots of rain during April. And it was very, very cold. Imagine someone from the tropical, from the equator, where the equator is passing. It's very humid. It's very hot. Then I come down here. The first day, they say, oh, Godfrey, your house is going to be a tent. It was kind of another shock. Oh, my God, in America, people live in a tent? I can't believe that. I'm coming from Uganda. I'm coming from a grass-thatched house, from the little village. So I say, okay, in my culture, a new house, a new place, I need a goat slaughter. But I didn't have a goat at the farm. So this wonderful lady said, okay, maybe since it's still cold, we are going to find you a small trailer down there, and then you'll be staying there. When you settle down, you'll come back to your tent. But it was a very big surprise to me because I thought by coming here, oh, I'm going to live nicely in a nice house with a flushing toilet, with, you know. So it was very different. And
you know, the interesting thing about the UC Farm and Garden Project is that they have taken kids, essentially, from that were raised in those big new houses, and put them in tents and teach them how to grow food in a organic soil system that's unlike anything you see in industrial agriculture. Godfrey, what did they teach you? What kind of agriculture did they teach you there?
Yeah, now, so the day I arrived, things were very different, but my first picture and of my interest was to look at these small little rows of the farm, where one line of lettuce, one line of cabbage, one line of kale, one line of collards.
And these are the deep, double-dug beds.
And that's what I was looking for. Now, I looked back in Israel, where you looked, all the field was one crop. But here, it was a system of different crops, a system of drip irrigation, a system of well dug, a system of making compost, a system that I was really looking for, a system of growing herbs. So I said, wow, I think I'm at the right place, which I was looking for a long time.
So this is the kind of agriculture that you could take back to your people in Uganda and give them this knowledge, and they could use it to really become self-sufficient in a way that they have not been able to do before.
Yes, that was very, very wonderful. And I started taking classes. The course is very, very practical. You learn how to touch the soil. You learn how to compost. You learn how to deal with each and every small part of farming that you will go back home and set exactly. So for the 6 months and a half I lived here, I went through the whole system of training at the farm. Then I met many friends say, oh, Godfrey, why don't you stay here? Godfrey, why don't you make a life here? I said, I got a sponsorship to come down here and pack the knowledge, the technology, to take back to Uganda. So that the Ugandan farmer, the one I represent, the one who doesn't have a chance to come down here, should also learn something, should also start practicing the agriculture methodology that would lift his family standards, that would give him food, that would make a powerful livelihood to his family.
And after 6 months, or after this time, you took the technology back to Uganda.
Yes. I packed very well. I think I packed all my luggage. I said, I'm going back to Uganda. But the very interesting story, Mr. Mike, here, was that during my stay, I made a very wonderful network of friendship. You know, the food, first and foremost, was different. What they used to drink at the farm, the herbal teas, was different for my beginning. But eventually, people put me into their houses. I enjoyed a community that did welcome me to Santa Cruz. So that community made me feel back at home, made me feel that I had people who cared for other people, even when they didn't know them, even when they didn't know where they came from. So Santa Cruz seemed totally different for the many places that I had traveled around the world. Because I mentioned before I came here, I was in many countries to do all my studies. But here, it was totally different.
Did that have something to do with the technology that you were learning?
Over here?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Very, very, very much. I don't know how to say it. And that's the technology that has developed my organization, known as Center for Environment, Technology and Rural Development.
So this is the technology that allowed you to develop not only the skills to grow crops, but also brought you together with a lot of other people. It kind of helped you develop your own community in a foreign country.
That is very true. Because of my coming here, it made me meet many, many different people. Many people were interested in developing country. And we started a very big network. And this network went down back home to Uganda to start helping the people of Uganda. So we are so much based and close to the Center for Agroecology. So all our initiation, all our innovations are so much related to this university mm-hmm. at the farm.
So what did the... You took the technology back to Uganda from the United States, and it was a different kind of technology, perhaps, and everybody was hoping that you would bring back, perhaps. But it was a very practical technology that just about anybody could do if they were to apply themselves. So is this when you took the technology, is this when you set up your Center for Rural Development?
Well, in 1997, before I came here, the center was formed.
Okay.
But we had not done so much. So when I went back, we established a training center. We established demonstration gardens. We created a network of farmers. So farmers kept coming to the center for training, and they started their real farming. Of course, farming in Africa is historical. People have farmed all their life.
Sure, and it's all through town. But when we come back, we have to take a quick break. But I would like to hear about the historical farms of Africa and how your technology that you brought back from the United States changed that historical model. Yeah. Folks, this is the Food Chain, Michael Olson. We're talking about Africa. We're talking about America. We're talking about bringing the two together with agriculture and farming. And above all, teaching each other how to grow. The big question on the table today is, what can we in the developing world learn, or in the developed world here in modern America, what can we learn from those people in Africa and throughout the developing nations of the world? Let's reverse it a little bit. Think on the other side of the coin. We will be right back. Please do stay tuned. Hey folks, we're off to Africa today with Godfrey Kasozi, who is the founder of the Center for Environmental Technology and Rural Development in Kasese, Uganda. Also Peggy Pollard, who is with international students at the University of California, Santa Cruz, and also the chairman of the Santa Cruz Sister Cities, which is what we're going to be talking about a little bit about how we bring the people of two countries together in a way that will allow us to teach each other how to grow. And that's always the principal aim. Right now, we're going to go back in time a little bit and with Godfrey and talk a little bit about what the traditional forms of agriculture, at least in his part of Uganda, were like. Godfrey?
Yeah, thank you very much. I mentioned before that the Africa or Uganda in particular, people have lived on farming.
Famine?
Farming.
And famine.
For the last many years, people used to collect food from the forests. People used to plant, and things were just growing. The land was not used so much by that time. But as time went on, the land started deteriorating. So you could plant, and you could harvest little. This was the reason, because the land was not being fed. So the knowledge...
The land was not being fed.
Yeah. Right. The knowledge was almost lost. So we started thinking, how best can we start working out the land, feeding the land, and the land producing more? But we didn't have that knowledge. So when I go back to the history, that people used to go to the forest, pick food, we used to go everywhere and find food. But the population increased. For example, Uganda, in early 80s, we were almost 15 million. But now in 2000s, we are talking of 36 million. So you can imagine the pressure. A
lot of people eating in the forest.
Exactly. The pressure people are putting on the forest, people are putting on land, it is too much. So if we are talk about sustainability, how are we going to sustain those people? How are we going to sustain the land? So when you look into what was at UCSC, the farm and garden, that was the knowledge that I was looking for, or someone else in Uganda would have been looking for, to take back and rework the land, and the land be able to produce for the population
and,
that is growing.
And of course, the focal point of the UC farm and garden is always the soil.
Yes.
It's how to build soil. How to build fertility back in the soil, and that's what you learned, and that's what you brought back.
Very much.
So what happened when you brought this technology back then?
Wow, that was very interesting. Because when I went back with the seeds, I went back with the knowledge, and I said, now, ladies and gentlemen, my people, my friends, my family, we are opening up to the new knowledge. We have to rework out our land. We have to start thinking of how best we can feed the land in order the land to feed us.
How best you can feed the land so the land can feed us.
Exactly. So we started our trainings. People were very excited. I'm so happy that we didn't have any single resistance, because everyone wants to improve his life, wants to have food for the family. So we had this kind of a big number of people who wanted to train. 2,000 in a year, that was tremendous.
2,000 people in a year?
People were coming, and we say, oh my God, that is too much. We don't have that money to train each and every person. But we did all what we could to start the training. And people, our aim was that we establish a demonstration farm where people can come and see. Then after seeing, after learning, then people can go and start doing it at their own home. And Michael, I'm very happy that people here have been so good to us. Individual people have donated money to our farm. Individual people have donated seeds. Like Renee's garden has continued giving us seeds. And those are very wonderful seeds. They are not GMO. They are seeds that where people can even save seeds. So that's what we are looking for.
So and people gave you seeds that you can plant and grow and collect seeds and keep going.
Exactly.
Like lemon verbena?
Oh, that was very wonderful. That was my best. But that was my worst at the beginning, Mr. Mike. Because the first tea, green tea I saw in the cup at the farm was from lemon verbena. And remember, in Africa, many people drink black tea. Not even the coffee we grow, but black tea. So when I came here, everyone was drinking lemon verbena. Everyone was eating leaves on the plate. Everyone was eating tofu. I said, will I survive here, really? Then I asked, is this reality? Is this America? What exactly is here? I'm from a meat culture. We eat bananas. We eat poso from maize. But here it is tofu. It is quinoa. It was very, very hard for me to adopt that. And the kitchen was 100% organic. No Coca-Cola, no anything like that. Well, I said, I started playing. I said, well, I don't know if I'm going to survive here. I called even back home that here, situation is very complicated. They eat only leaves and bread. They don't have the kind of food that we have back home. But Michael, for a short time, after knowing what was in those things, why are people eating those kind of food? The heresy, the nutrition that was within that kind of food. And I said, wow, that's wonderful. Let me test the lemon verbena. The day I tested it, I didn't go back. I forgot my black tea. I went to lemon verbena. Then I started eating the lettuce. Then I said, wow, I think we have been missing a lot. My people need this. My people need squash. My people need collards. My people need kale. So, Mike, but also maybe a little bit to take you back is that I started doing gardening. I started going to church. That's why I met actually Peggy, who is with me today, from the ISI program when I went to look for a Bible. Then my friends, the Deborahs, the Gales, the many friends advertised for work at their gardens. I went and did some garden work, which was very wonderful. Then I created friendship. I created a family where every weekend from school, I would go and have the kind of food which is related to African. That was meat, bananas, and other things. But still at the farm, I built a very big attachment. And I felt so happy and felt at home because what I was looking for was 100% at this farm.
When you did you take lemon verbena back to Uganda?
Michael, I'm very, very happy and very successful. This one, I will give a credit to my friend called Sherry. Sherry tried several times to give me lemon verbena, which I had failed to make it grow in Uganda. But for the last 3-4 years, I have been able to grow a plantation of lemon verbena, and all the people in my place and beyond, they all come for lemon verbena, and we are growing lots of herbs. Since Renee started giving us seeds, we have been able to put up a plantation of herbs. We have been able to put up many, many other crops. Everyone, wherever I come, Godfrey has come back, we want squash. Godfrey has come back, we want kale. Godfrey has come back, we want all those. So vegetables now are very much available. People are eating very well. The children have improved. There's no kwasako anymore. People used to suffer from kwasako. But
folks,
all this one is away now.
We will be right back with more Africa and America and you. Welcome back. Food Chain Radio Program, Michael Olson with Godfrey Kasozi and Peggy Pollard. Godfrey, you were talking a little bit about how you brought this incredible technology and how transformative it was in a very tangible way, because you could actually see the difference in the children's bellies.
Yes, Mr. Mike. When we brought the new technology, the new farming system, people started to grow vegetables. In before, people were eating only beans.
Only
beans.
Beans. So
people,
they were just eating beans.
Yeah. And that was one protein. People lacked nutrition. But when they started eating other different vegetables, people started changing. Health ways in the families improved a lot. So there was no more suffering.
Wow.
So we played a very big role in that every family in the backyard must have a garden. Even when we started working with a foundation, which was mostly focusing on children affected by and infected by HIV/AIDS, which was Firelight Foundation from Santa Cruz here, our main point for us, we said, we are going to base our main point on fast food.
Food.
If someone is sick, if someone has no money, if someone is poor, he can survive longer when she or he has food. But without food, tomorrow you'll be gone. Tomorrow you can't have anything good to do with any development if you have no food. So our emphasis was to improve the nutrition of the family.
And the way to do that was to teach them how to grow their own.
Exactly.
And now the country, the Prime Minister of Uganda has improved the importation of GMO crops, correct?
Mr. Michael, that one threatens me. It makes my life uneasy. As an organic farmer, as someone who has been working hard to make sure that people can work out their soil, people can be sustainable. A country like mine, I don't want to talk so bad about it, but the parliamentarian who sit in parliament goes and approve the use of GMO. That was very unfortunate for us. People are starting to use Roundup. That makes us so easy, so lazy, and it's going to destroy us for a long time. The banana, our staple food, they are putting in GMO in the banana. That is the staple food which we thought that at least we would put in effort in improving our bananas rather than making it GMO. Mr. Michael, I'm going back to indigenous knowledge for so many reasons. We are losing our knowledge. We lived with those bananas for a long time. But it's going to change a lot. So right now we are working on a very wonderful program with many friends of mine, with the networks, Uganda Organic Movement, Western Uganda Organic Movements, and many other environmental organizations, to make sure that we lobby for the GMO-free zones. Especially where I am, I want a GMO-free zone. I don't want to be contaminated. We came down here with coffee, which we took to Vale for testing. We are organic farmers. But now, at the end of the day, we shall be contaminated. When we come to the market, they will say, we can't buy your coffee. Therefore, all my effort, all other people's effort in the country for a long time, we have been bogged down. If we can't sell what we grow because it is contaminated, then that means our effort would have been there for nothing. But we are not giving up. We are going to continue lobbying. We are going to continue training the people. We are going to open people's eyes so that they choose what's best for them.
Whew, there it is. It seems like the struggle goes on all around the world between those very big technologies and the very small technologies, I guess. Peggy Pollard, we have to take a break in a minute or so, but I want to start with you because you have a very interesting thing. You're a chairman of the Sister Cities, and what you're learning how to do is how to learn from them.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
That's correct.
Yes.
Okay. And a Sister Cities program is what?
Sister Cities is meant to be a mutual exchange of culture, education, and economic exchange, possibly, between two cities. So not just one person, but between groups in cities, community groups. And we're really looking at Kasese because there's so many things we have in common. The basis was the sustainable agriculture that Godfrey learned here at our university that he's broadcasting to his country as a great leader in Uganda. And then it's also now the relationship, because of the Sister City involvement, it's already spread to the mayor of Kasese and the Rotary Club. So we're trying to connect our organizations in Kasese and in Santa Cruz. And we're working on a delegation, our first delegation, to go to Kasese in August 23rd to September 6th. And we want to invite you, Michael, to come with us and other suitable delegates who want to join in.
So we can all go to Kasese together and have a great time.
That is true.
You know, those of us in the developed world looked at places like Uganda, but so many places in the world. And we, I think, have this little cultural chauvinism wherein we probably think, what can we possibly learn from Godfrey in Uganda? But I'm thinking we can learn a lot from Godfrey in Uganda. And so when we get back from this break, I'm going to ask you, Peggy, what is on the list of things to learn from Uganda? Do stay tuned, folks. Michael Olson, this is the Food Chain Radio Program. Right back. And, oh, there's Mike on the phone. We'll pick him up. Well, it's pretty evident that Godfrey Kasese learned from us. He learned how to grow organically, and he took the technology back to Uganda and made a big difference in his world. And you can see the difference because the little children no longer have the distended bellies of malnutrition, because now they know how to grow their own food and are growing healthy vegetables that bring nutrition to the bodies. So my big question is obvious that they've learned from us, but what can we learn from them? Peggy Pollard, you're going over there to learn. What are you looking to learn?
Yeah, thank you, Michael. Already in the 16 years I've known Godfrey, I have developed a really rewarding friendship with him. And one of the best things I've learned from him is his politeness, his respect for other people, as I've seen him interact with many people in Santa Cruz. And I think that's what attracts so many people to knowing him, is just the elegance that he has in relating to people. I think sometimes that's something we lack in Santa Cruz. So we have Americans, we tend to have too much stuff because we have money, we have resources, and so we kind of accumulate so many things in our lives and sometimes find it very unsatisfying. But the relationships that the Ugandans can teach us about, there's a richness in their quality of friendship that I found in the other delegates that came over too, and I'm really looking forward to getting to know more friends. So it's friendship.
We don't have that here.
Oh, we have it some, but we definitely can, you know, learn more from them. And sometimes because of their lack of other the technology and things in their life, that they really focus on relationships much more than we do. So that's something I think we can.
I just thought about the seeing the family at the restaurant dinner table, and each member of the family was looking at their cell phone.
I think that was my family last night. Yeah. So they have a tribal culture. They have a king who lives in Kasese. And already the way Godfrey's been describing that, there's a lot of interesting things that I think we're going to be learning from their tribe and their, I'm looking forward. I hope I can meet the king. And the way people greet each other is different. Dancing and singing, I have heard that they do a lot of that, and that's one of my top priorities is to learn dancing from them. And that's, we don't really dance and sing when we greet people here in Santa Cruz. So,
you know, the interesting, when I was visiting the Shipibo people of the Peruvian Amazon, headwaters of the Amazon, that's what they greeted us. They came down to the river and led us out of the canoes up to their village, and all we did was sing and dance.
Whoa.
It was just so marvelous.
Nice. Wow. They in Kasese, they have amazing nature. If you've seen the video of that we've done of Kasese, it's Santa Cruz has wonderful nature, and they have it in Kasese too, and learning how to develop tourism there in a sustainable way. That's one thing we want to help. But snow-capped mountains on the equator, lions, elephants, hippos, gorillas south of Kasese. They even have lions that sleep in trees there. That's pretty amazing. They sharing their resources, and it seems like the relationship that they have amongst their leaders, that sounds very harmonious to me. I think there's a lot that our leaders can learn from them as how to govern a city, because they seem to be having great communication, and there's a lot of harmonious relationships.
Wow. So, Godfrey Kasose, founder of the Center for Environmental Technology and Rural Development in Kasese, Uganda. Peggy Pollard, international students, University of California, Santa Cruz, also Santa Cruz Sister Cities. Thank you both for joining us, and thank you all out there. Remember Michael's first law of the food chain. Agriculture is the foundation upon which we build all our sandcastles. Thank you.
You've been listening to the award-winning Food Chain Show with Michael Olson. If your friends missed the show today, tell them to log on to the radio page at www.metrofarm.com for a listen. Now go out and find some food with a farmer's face on it and live.